Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
I'm so excited. I like, if you haven't read the book yet, maybe we have it, you can see it. It's Army of the Dawn, written by Rick Joyner. And it's really, you know, if you've read about the call, the vision that God gave him, the call, I think, was pretty relevant. He penned his last part of it in 1998. You know, they published it, I believe, in 1999, January of 1999, it came out and hit the presses. But when we're reading that, and it was just so accurate, powerful, you know, for what the Lord was saying. And one thing he talked about in that particular vision of the call, and you're looking at, I think right there, the Army of the Dawn. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. But you got to get it. You got to read it. It's very encouraging. It's very informative, practical things, as well as the you know, the direction that we're, he believes, you know, we know in part and prophesy in part, but what he's, you know, he's seeing. And, what we saw and read about in the call, in that particular vision, today is the day that you're, you know, you're starting to see that. And the Army of the Dawn is really kind of, okay, we're walking into this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, the humility level of Rick Joyner is totally amazing. You know, he's always pretty open to say, you know, we're not, I'm not there yet. You know, we're on our journey. You're hoping, you're like, okay, it's been 10 years. But the truth is, it takes a while to fulfill things. Mm-hmm. And we have to, it's through faith and patience we inherit things.
Process.
And it's a process. And so one thing, I want you to see this right here, where he's talking about something pretty interesting, because historically, you know, the church and the Inquisition and the things that have happened, you know, with the Catholic Church and the military viewpoints that they took of things. And is Rick Joyner talking about this? Well, we want to first hear what he says, and then we're going to talk about it. I think it's going to really encourage you.
But you are going to see the body of Christ take on a military demeanor. Doesn't mean we're going out killing people. It's not what this army is about. We go out to heal them, raise them from the dead. You know, not to wound them, but to heal them. Not to conquer them, but to set them free. You know, but there is a military discipline that we've got to have, a military demeanor. I think you're going to see coming upon the body of Christ more and more. I think it's going to start gelling this year.
It's going to come on more and more. And he says, you know, he believes it's going to start gelling this year. You know, being, you know, former military, both of us served in the military. We just kind of drove y'all around on our boat. Why y'all shine your shoes? We don't know what, no. Navy and Marines, that there's one thing, you know, God is a God of order. And, you know, there's a lot of people who pervert order. You know, ISIS has some sort of order. And, but God has an order. God is a God of order. And there's one thing with, I know when Rick was writing about the vision he had about the call, when he was looking at these three particular armies. And, you know, it was three different seasons of the church. And the first particular army was just in chaos. There was no, people were jealous and envious. And, you know, people look at, in this vision, people had a higher rank than someone else. And they were intimidated by that. And somebody else was lording over them. It was just a mess. The second army had, you know, more, you know, some order to it, but still a lot of those issues there. And the third army, they were just marching smoothly in order. Everybody was moving in agreement. Nobody felt better than anybody else, but there was order to it. And they would walk into a city, and it was a destroyed type city. They'd walk into it, and all of a sudden it would be replenished, and everything turns green, and everything is lively. And when they would leave this third army, things would stay good. But when the earlier two armies would go into a city, they would cause more damage. The first army would just cause damage, and the second army would actually do good, but they would kill it on the way out. There's so many people that step on their harvest. I mean, they do this, they go do ministry, and then they don't understand that you can kill that. You know, it doesn't just happen. And then they just, with their character, with their behavior, how they treat people, it could just kill it. And that's what the second army did. And of course, the third army would go into a bad city. It would get better when they leave, it stay. They knew how to do that. And so the Lord asks Rick, in this vision, he says, you know, which one do you think you are? And he's, he says, what do you think I should do? We should do with this first army here, which is just a mess.
Right.
And of course, you know, Rick responds immediately. We just need to just deal with them. We need to, you know,
remove them.
Yeah. It was just like intense, right? You know, get rid of them. And then the Lord says to Rick, he says, this is you. This is the church. This is the condition of the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about it, that's where we were, what, 1998, you know, at that time, 1999. And so somehow we have to progress through this thing, you know, which are we? What is our life like? And you can tell a person, you can tell where they are in their life by the trail, the wake they leave behind.
The relationships,
yeah. You know, and we talk about that in, you know, VFN Kingdom Business, but you can tell about a person, the wakes don't lie. You know, if you're going through the water in your ship, in your boat, you know, it puts a cut in the water and it puts a wake. There's a right side and a left side to the wake. One side of it, you could really call task, how you handle the task. And the other side is how you handle relationships. And some people are really good at tasks, but they'll just murder you on the relationship thing. Like, just pick up your head and
but
let's go on.
Done,
you just
done.
Cut my head off, right? And there's other people that are good at relationships. They don't ever get anything done. But, you know, it's so... It's having the balance of those two things. And that last army, which is where the church is going and growing to, is where we have that revelation. God has given us a grace to be able to do that. And I'm excited about going in that direction. So the Army of the Dawn really is talking about that. And so when you're talking about this military demeanor, it's about order.
Yeah.
You know?
And as you're saying that, one of the huge things is when you're hearing what Rick Joyner is saying in regards to having a military demeanor, it causes me to remember, and in regards to being in the Marine Corps, is that look at boot camp. You have 50 to 70 individuals come together, and 3 months later, they can hear a voice of one individual say, step. And
in you 3 have, months.
In literally three months,
right.
You have 50 to 70 people walking as one.
Yeah.
Now, think about this. When you look at the church, it's like following the leadership of the Lord, following the voice of Jesus Christ. You're not saying, well, what are you doing? It's like, right. What are we doing together to advance what Jesus has called us to do, walking together in agreement, coming together as the body of Christ? That is encouraging.
Well, you went fast by, you know, boot camp, because a lot of people might not understand that. But you said, you know, you're basically chaotic and everybody going their own directions. You go through boot camp and then they get you in order, but also an agreement where you're walking in unity. Because there's no such thing as an effective fighting force. It's not unified. That's why America right now is in a very dangerous state, because people are confused. There's not a clear vision over our country. People are trying to undo and transform us from our original viewpoint of who we were and God intended us to be. And that's totally, I mean, if anything could be divided, the enemy's working hard to
divide it.
And an effective fighting force in the military is a unified, you know, a unified unit that's walking together to the point that, you know, they say that a man does not really necessarily die for his country, but what he does is he gives his life for his buddy, his fellow soldier.
Lays down his life.
Yeah, that's right beside him. But if you get a lot of those relationships together, you got a large army. And that's the way it works. You have a relationship, but the church is so isolated, you know, for years. You know, even though you're gathering together, do you know anything about the person next to you? I know you know something about Susie in the Sunday school class, but do you know that the person beside you that you sit beside, you know, for years, do you know what's happening in their life? Do you know where they work? Do you know if their marriage is okay? Do you know if they're financially all right? Do you know if they have teenagers that are giving them a hard time, or, you know, do you know anything about them? And are you connected enough in a relationship to help them out? Well, that's one thing that, you know, Army of the Dawn is talking about, and what, you know, Rick is talking about, and what the Lord's kind of head us in that same direction is, you know, discipleship is best caught rather than taught.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I hear what you're saying, but what you're doing is messing me up, you know.
Hugely. Well, when you look at how Jesus walked and he spent time with his disciples, you had the religious leaders of the day focused, and they were carrying out everything that was going on in the temple. And it was just like, you look at the relationship between the disciples and Jesus, he would, you know, say, look at the grass of the field, look at the sparrows, look at the tree. And they spent 3 years with him. Right. And then what happened after that was the book of Acts. And it's like the context, like you're saying, of discipleship in that relationship. That's where it's returning back to. He's saying going back to those small units, those small gatherings.
What we keep trying to do, we just think if we just get a whole bunch of people together, we'll have a big army.
Right.
But the truth is, if you really know how armies are set up, and we're not going to be a military army, but the kind of concept of that, it's really a whole bunch of very small units, right? Mm-hmm. Platoons, and depending on what branch you're in. And when they all come together, they're really separate little small groups, very small groups. And it takes that point to be able to say, to do something effectively, you know, and it has a leader, and they're going in a direction, and everybody knows their place. The over 90% that, you know, Ritt writes about in the Army of the Dawn, over less than 10% and less than 10%, 10%, only 10% know their purpose. About that. I mean, can you imagine if you're in the Marines and you graduate from boot camp and they still are going like, don't know why I'm wearing this uniform and I'm tired of shining that thing, right?
Yeah.
And so, you got to know your purpose. It's one thing, you're knowing your place, and that, you know, 10%, only 10% of Christians are aware of that. I mean, 90% don't, and less than 10% know their call. You know, in the military, you would say, you know, you're going to be, you know, a marksman or shooter. You're going to be, you know, on this, and you're going to be on, you know, food. You're going to do this. And all of a sudden everybody just goes and does their thing, and it just happens because everybody's in their place. But right now, if we don't know our call, don't know our purpose, and we don't understand what Rick's talking about, is, and this is not something we're going to make happen. This is something we're going to realize it needs to happen, and it will happen. I mean, think about a natural family who loves each other, that there's something inside of them because of their relationship that does not let bad things happen to one of the members of the family. Mm-hmm. I mean, you go sit around the table and you know that all of a sudden there's no spiritual laws going on. You just see somebody's face. It's so long they can eat oats from a tailpipe. It's like, oh, are you going through something? And are you going to pass the ketchup, or are you going to throw it at me? No. I mean, there's something you can do at a smaller group that you couldn't even do. There's people dying, you know, next to people in large organizations that they need somebody in their life. And so I think it's going to be a thing. You can't make things happen. Mm-hmm. And the worst thing you could do is like, that's right, you know, we can go do this military thing. And if you're going to make it happen, you're going to be like the person's wake who only dealt with task. Mm-hmm. Because there's one thing about the military itself, it struggles with. They got the task part down, but this relationship type thing sometimes is really tough. The thickest relationship you have in the military quite often is with your smaller core group, and then you just tolerate whatever else is going on.
Everything outside of that.
Right. So it's 99.9. And so, so you don't make this thing happen, but be open for it. Be open for, you know, am I a person of order? You know, do I get offended when I'm asked to do something? Do I have a place and a body? Do I know my call? Do I know my purpose? If God launched me out on the front lines and he's sending us all out, go into all the world, am I ready to do it? Or am I actually living vicariously through others who'd be able to do that? And you know your place. I mean, that'd be terrible to be launched out in the military and your platoon is sent out and your small squad is sent out. And all of a sudden you look at the other eight fellow soldiers with you and you go, what are we doing here? Actually, that did happen. That happened. One particular man was in a foxhole. And he said, the only reason it was in Iraq and shots were going off. He said, the only reason I was in this thing is for my education, to get an education thing. And the guy is telling me the story. He said, you're in. This is it. This is the real deal. And a lot of the church is like that. And so we got to say, you know what? It's time for us to move into this season. And we can do it by becoming a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. One great way to do that is begin to abide. And we have something, we have a plan for you. Abiding with the Lord, he talks about. It's impossible to do anything outside of abiding with him, Jesus. Go to iabide.org and get your abiding plan today. It's real simple. It's broke down. And you start building a relationship, a true, authentic relationship. Think about this. If you had 90 days to learn something, that if you didn't learn it on your 91st day, you're going to be dead. You pay attention.
Yep.
It's amazing that you know that inevitably you're going to be put on the front lines and you're going to have to go, you know, a tour of duty. You're going to pay attention. Well, that's how we're supposed to be as Christians. We're all going on a tour of duty. God has sent us all out, and begin to pay attention to build your relationship with the Lord. Secondly, become his disciple. Most of the church in America is not even discipled. Think about it. And we're called to be disciples, followers, people that know his teachings and follow his teachings, according to what Rick Joyner's talking about. That's what he said in there. And with that, I know we got to go to a break, but in that, you know, when we begin to take it seriously, what God has called us to do, and realize that God could call us to Egypt tomorrow, God could call us to Iraq tomorrow, God could call us to Afghanistan, God could call us to China, God could call us to our neighborhood, but we're going to have to do something for him because he's called us to do something. Then we start paying attention. And when you do that, you start coming together mm-hmm. because you're listening to the same commander, Jesus, the same, sergeant, the same Holy Spirit is directing us all and speaking to us. And that's why when we come together and we all say amen, it means there's something in my spirit that bears witness with your spirit that we heard from the same mm-hmm. commander. And that's what brings us together in unity.
We'll be right back.
That so happens that communism is a system that I disagree with philosophically. I would not prefer to live under a communist system. I happen to feel that the great moments of history have been those moments when individuals have been left free to think and to act. And I feel that communism often stands in the way of certain First Amendment privileges that we have in America, for instance, that I just couldn't adjust to.
This is Just a Thought with Ravi Zacharias.
Ideas and isms come and go. There are many who didn't believe in God who now do. Ian Wilson, one of the most respected scholars in the United Kingdom, several years ago wrote some pretty hostile books against Christian theism. He really was a trailblazer for people like Dawkins and Hitchens and all of them. He preceded them. In April of 2009, Ian Wilson did a turnaround. He really no longer could make sense out of things like beauty, music, the aesthetic side of life without God. And at Easter, found himself back in church and recognizing the resurrected Christ as the sole answer for life and value and eternal verities and so on.
Helping the thinker believe and the believer think. For more information, go to rzim.org.
You know, a lot of people want to abide with the Lord, but they just don't have a plan to do it. You can request that plan today at iabide.org.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
The wisdom moment. Today's wisdom moment is coming from Proverbs 20. Chapter 20, verse 4. We didn't get a chance to share this yesterday. They want to be able to share this with you. These wisdom moments are very important. I mean, even in major moves and outpourings of God, it's amazing when there's a lack of wisdom, how the awesomeness of God and his mm-hmm. power, what's taking place, can just be wasted. The opportunity yep. could be wasted in the lifetime of the opportunity. And so wisdom mm-hmm. is not something that's like, okay, I think next year I think I'll get wisdom.
Right.
It's like mm-hmm. we need wisdom every day and every decision. Every day. And this is so important because so many people say, I want this to happen in my life, these testimonies that we're sharing. Well, it can, but listen to this. Listen to today's wisdom moment from Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Let me say that again. Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks and he finds nothing. It's so important. I mean, look, use the analogy of a farmer here. Analogy of a farmer is what he's talking about is understanding that a farmer has to have a vision. He has to know what he's looking for. He wants to see a field of corn. He wants to see a field of beans. He wants to see, a field of whatever he's growing. He mm-hmm. has to see that ahead of time, and then he has to know what it's going to take to be able to bring that to pass. And then he has to go find a piece of ground somewhere. And the piece of ground, he's got to do something to it. And what he mm-hmm. has to do to it, and the seemingly how it's going to look, it won't look like anything like it's going to look. But he has to have a vision that if he'll work this ground, if he will plow this ground and work the ground and plant the seed, that eventually that when the harvest comes, he's actually going to have a harvest. So many people, they want good things in their life. They want to see you know, God moving in their ministry. They want to see just powerful things, relational things, whatever, but they just want it. Mm-hmm. They don't understand, you know, you're not going to have it. You're going to look and see nothing if you did not plow the field. You know, it's the kingdom of God is all about seed time and harvest will not end in this age. Jesus will not. This is how it's going to be. I mean, you're going to have to understand. You're going to have to work it, plow it, plant it, believe it, water it, pray, and believe God to cause it to grow. And we'll be talking more about that in the extra hour. But and so a farmer has to be able to have a vision for what he or she would like to harvest from their soil. But they understand that if they want to have a fruitful season, they're going to have a season of preparing the soil. I mean, you don't see any corn. Mm-hmm. You're not seeing anything. You're seeing a whole bunch of dirt, and you're having to bust it all up. And so many people, you know, that want to do something for God, they don't understand this. And so when they're moving and planting seed, they just think, I don't know what the problem is, and you know, it's just so difficult. It's called hard soil, sir.
That's right.
And you got to keep, you know, what's that?
Takes a little effort.
It takes effort. It takes energy because you're going to have to, you know, break up the hard soil of people's hearts. And they have to plow the soil, and that's why we have VFN Radio going out around the world now on VFN TV, because we just want to keep continually sowing the seed in the hearts of men, and it gets softer and softer and softer, or maybe calamity happens and it breaks up your soil, and all of a sudden all that seed just falls into your heart. And they have to plow the soil and break up the hard ground. They have to plant the seed that will grow into the harvest that they're seeking. They have to plant enough seed to make sure that there's a harvest, because not every seed is going to land on the right kind of land, and the soil's not going to produce the right kind of stuff. Right. They have to weed the field. They have to pray that God would bring rain on the field. We have a lot of watering systems today, but that was not always. This is a recent thing in all of the thousands of years around. And they then, after the seed has grown, first you have the stem, then you have the blade, then you have the kernel, and you have the fruit. But I mean, there's a process to this whole thing. And so it's patience, you know, faith and patience. And they understand that. But this entitlement mentality, and this, it just, I want it because I exist. You know, I want to harvest because. And it's like, can you get a little deeper than that? Well, you owe me because I owe you because. And because this farmer prepared his field by plowing it in the season and planting it, when the harvest time comes, he'll look and he'll see a harvest. I mean, it's just how it works. I mean, God's not going to hold back that. I mean, you'll see the harvest. He'll see the harvest. Mm-hmm. But if he or she is a sluggard, which is a lazy person, they say, oh, it's just too hard, and I don't want to go over there and plant, and it's too dangerous out there. There's like snakes in the dirt, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no. Oh, I'll have to leave and not work as many hours at work, and I won't be able to afford the extra clothes I like buying, or I mean, all these excuses, you know, of not wanting to go out in the field. But yet, they sit waiting patiently going, not patiently, impatiently going, where's my harvest? Where's my harvest? And it's like, I don't know where yours is at. I don't know where yours is at. But, you know, but the man and the woman, you're looking across America right now where a lot of people have worked very hard to be able to establish a company, to be able to patiently work and plant seed and pray and water over a period of time as ministries and things that are happening, that you're going to have to begin the same process as you and God. You know, what are you going to do? If you want to have a successful career, for example, in your life, you're going to have to plow the ground of your heart and mind for the knowledge and wisdom that you're going to need in your field of work. So when the harvest season comes, you'll have a paycheck, a career. You know what I'm saying? You'll actually, and, you know, and part of plowing the soil of knowledge for your heart and mind is getting the knowledge of God in addition to your college. But see, it's not knowledge alone, because, you know, faith without works is dead. Get out there and become an intern for a place that you want to work. Go out there and work for free. Go out there and meet them and serve them. And I mean, if they say, no, you know, you can't work here, we're not going to take interns, you know, be there at the coffee shop where they get coffee and get a job there and look at them every day and say, I want this job. I want this job. I want this job. And wash their car, you know, bring, just let them know that
get happy, get up.
Yeah, it, they understand that you're a person that says that I'm not just getting an education, mm-hmm. but I am plowing the field. I want this mm-hmm. career. I want to work here. And people that have their own companies, that's what they do, by the way. They're relentless. They're relentless, and they're entrepreneurs. And that's what actually built this country was entrepreneurs that are willing to go west when there was no west. Mm-hmm. And everything, you know, west of the Mississippi, it's amazing. You know, they
made a trail where there was none.
They made a trail where there was none. They began to build houses where there was only trees. They began to, raise cattle and plant things. And I mean, look at it. We became the breadbasket. Everything that we grew practically was west of the Mississippi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we became the breadbasket of the world. Why? Because they understood this principle. But mm-hmm. all of a sudden, it's like we have this sluggard spirit everywhere. I mean, mm-hmm. including the church. Just slow. It's like, just give it to me. Where do I go where somebody's going to lay hands on me? It's just going to happen.
Right.
I'll lay hands on you. Anyway, so if you want to have fruit in your ministry to the Lord, which Jesus calls us all to have, you're going to have to plow the ground of people's hearts by loving them and sowing the seed in the soil of their heart. And the seed is the word of God. For example, beginning to plow a field of ministry that God's entrusted to you. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a Luke 10 walk that we talk about as Jesus sends out his disciples. And you're just, you know, somebody goes out and says, well, nothing happened. You got a seed phase, dude. You got a seed phase. You know, is it going to be a seed counseling phase and a water counseling phase? And then you're not God phase. Only God causes us to grow. We're going to talk about that in the extra hour. And it's like, come on. And it's like, oh, my goodness. You start finding it's like, that's all about me. It's mm-hmm. pride. I'm actually, this whole thing's been, I've been trying to build my kingdom and call it yours.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. And it's not as hard as religious made it out to be when you find out that you're not God and he is. And just because you have a crowd or a herd does not necessarily mean it's right. But if we just expect a harvest in season, but we never plow, and we just kind of laze around and do what we want to and just go after the lust of our flesh. And I just want to watch some TV or, you know, I don't want to think. I just want to sit here and whatever, stare at the wall or do some, you know, hobby thing. I mean, you're just not going to have one. Mm. The thing about plowing season is you got to have a vision for what you want. You have to know where you're going. Without a vision, you perish. And vision and wisdom is your motivator. A vision for the harvest season and wisdom and understanding on how to actually work and plow the situation to be able to produce the harvest you want. Jesus explained the kingdom of God exactly how the farmer works, exactly just like that. Listen, very simple. Today's wisdom is, moment wisdom is, Proverbs 24. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing.
I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you've joined us. Don't forget you can join us 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Download our app and sign up for our newsletter, The Torch,
at vfnkb.com.
I've enjoyed our time together. God bless.